As we are looking at the topic this year of love, I wanted to go through and spend some time Sunday evenings looking at 1 John. We've already preached a couple messages from 1 John chapter 1. We're going to look at a couple of verses tonight, but let's start in verse 1. Let me read the whole chapter, just 10 verses, and then we'll go back and consider some thoughts from verses 6 and 7 this evening. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Let's pray together. Lord, we ask you to bless our time together now. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for all the good things that you've done for us, and help us to indeed count our blessings daily and consider the good things that you've done for us. Lord, as we look at your word, we pray that you'd still our hearts from the busyness of today and even responsibilities of the weeks to come, and help us to allow you to teach us and instruct us now. In Jesus' name, amen. The basis of fellowship. The basis of fellowship. Fellowship's a word we use many times, and we Baptists, of course, basically use the word fellowship for eating something together. That's our general definition. We're fellowshipping if we're eating. But you know, we can have fellowship if we're not eating. I know it's hard, but we can. The last year we had trouble back here on the back of the building. We had to work back here on the building and tear a lot of the material out and replace it and put siding and do all kinds of stuff back there. And the men were out there and working, and we had a great deal of fellowship. We enjoyed our time together. We enjoyed Bob George. Bob George not here tonight, isn't we talk about him? Here, Bob George, he's about 127 years old now. And I look, and first thing I see, here's Bob George up on top of the scaffold. And so, you know, I wonder, I said, how's Isabel going to handle this if Bob George decides to take a flying leap off the scaffolding? And but we had a great time, and I always enjoy working together with men, the time that, not just the work that we can accomplish, but the fellowship we can have. And I know ladies enjoy fellowship. They enjoyed the ladies' Bible study yesterday morning, fellowshipping that, and even fellowshipping in prayer. We enjoy the time on Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. If you don't come out and pray at 6 o'clock on Sunday, you're missing out. Because it's just a great time of fellowship to come together as the ladies meet down in the room down here, and the men meet up in my office. And if we have to, we'll go to a bigger place if more show up. But it's just a great time to come together. Even if you don't want to pray out loud, you learn a lot by just listening to others pray. And you learn about their hearts as you listen to them pray. What is fellowship? Fellowship is communication or participation. Communication or participation. We fellowship when we participate together. We fellowship when we communicate with each other. These verses speak of two different kinds of fellowship. First, fellowship with God. And second, fellowship with other Christians. As we look at these verses, they begin really with a negative there in verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. It speaks of a negative. It's interesting how philosophies and ideas come and go through the centuries. And in the first century, there was a philosophy that basically said the body is the envelope for the soul and spirit. And that kind of makes sense. You know, our body is, our body carries our brain around. Carries our spirit and lives within us around, and our body functions, you know, that so that our brain, everything can work. But it goes on to say that the body doesn't necessarily affect the soul and spirit, and the The premise was that my soul is pure, my spirit is pure, and I can do whatever I want with my body, and it doesn't affect my soul and spirit. And we know that's a faulty doctrine. But the doctrine went on to say as well that my soul and spirit do not necessarily affect what I do with my body. And again, we understand that's faulty. Because we understand that we are, we call a trichotomous being. We're body, soul, and spirit. All three of them make up who we are and what we are. You see, our mind eventually affects what our body does. The things that we think about, the things we contemplate, if we continually contemplate those things, we're going to end up carrying out those things in our lives. Told you before about the guy that walked to work every day beside a bank. And he walked by the bank and he thought, there's a lot of money in that bank. A few days later, he walked by and said, boy, you better be careful. Somebody could rob that bank. Then he walked by a few days later and he says, you know, I'm a pretty smart guy. I can figure out how to rob that bank. And he walked by. It wasn't long until he walked to the bank. He took out a gun and went and robbed the bank. You know, he'd have never robbed a bank had he not started thinking and dwelling on the bank being robbed. So his body was affected by what was going on in his head. And what we do with our body certainly does affect our mind and our spirit. So it begins that with some thoughts, and it begins with the say, if we say. If we say. Did you ever know somebody that said a lot of things, but they weren't always necessarily true? And here he starts with the premise, if we say, you know, reality is not always reflected in our words. We can say a lot of things that may or may not be true. I can say, I know Stephen Harper. He's a good friend of mine. Called me the other day. That's not true. I could say, you know what? I'm very good at bungee jumping. And computer programming. It's not true. I could say, I have run with the bulls in Spain. Pamplona, I think, is the place they run with the bulls. Now, being a farm boy raised on a farm, I don't know why you'd want to do that on purpose. We used to slap the bulls every once in a while. Worked on a farm, had two big Angus bulls. They were about that high to the shoulders. Great big mangy things. They weren't very mean, but, you know, it's fun to tease them anyway. But, you know, I could say all those things, but none of them are true. And we can say a lot of things about our Christian life. And here, he says, the premise, if we say that we have fellowship with him, with who? With God. That's the premise. He says, so if I make that statement, is that statement real? If I make that statement, is it reality in my life? Is it true that, excuse me, is it true that I communicate with God on a regular basis? Is it true that, as we said, that I participate with God on a regular basis? Is it true or false? And he says, it's a statement we make. It says, so if I say that I have fellowship with him, and notice the negative, and walk in darkness. Now back here, of course, in the verses earlier, we see the thought of light and darkness. He spends a little time looking at that, and we spent the second in our series, we spent looking at light and darkness. But he says that if I say I have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, there's two conclusions. We lie. Because we can't do both. I can't have fellowship with God. Why? Because God is light. And walk in darkness. Lies are interesting things. Sometimes we lie because we want to brag about something and say something like, I ran with the bulls. Sometimes we lie because we want to get out of trouble. I got a call this week from a fellow that has to deal with a situation that something happened and he confronted a guy and he lied. I mean, the evidence was there that he just lied and got angry because he wouldn't believe him. Sometimes people lie just out of habit. They get in the habit of lying. You know the sad thing is? When people lie all the time, do you want to think about you and me? They think we're lying too. Because they think if I'm lying about things, then they are too, because they know they are. He says, so if we say we have fellowship with him, walk in darkness, first he says we're lying. And the second thing, we're not doing the truth. And so it's seen not only in our words, but in our actions. Our lives contradict the truth. If we say, oh, I'm a fine Christian, I love the Lord, and my life does not betray that, then we're lying, not doing the truth. You know, there's two sides to that, isn't there? There's some people, like the Pharisees, who were religious hypocrites. The outside looked real good, but the inside was full of rottenness. And there's some people that say, "Oh, I'm a Christian, I love the Lord," but they're outside their life. It's very obvious. It's rottenness. And so there's two sides to that. But he says, we lie and we don't do the truth. Our words contradict the truth. We're a hypocrite. Hypocrite basically is an actor playing a part. The basis for fellowship. What's required for fellowship? Let's just take a little diversion there a little bit. What's required for fellowship with God? If I'm going to fellowship with God, what's required? First is salvation. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful by whom ye are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Fellowship with God. Salvation. We cannot have fellowship with God unless we first trusted Christ as our Savior. That's a pretty simple thing. Why? Because until we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, our sins are on us. But when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, Jesus Christ takes the penalty, the sin debt on himself, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And then based on Christ's righteousness in our lives, not our own, based on Christ's righteousness in our lives, we can have fellowship with him. Separation. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Separation. Because we are Christians, there's some things we should be separate from. And I don't need to tell you what they are, you know. Separation. And then godly choices. Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You see, we kind of live in a day where we have the opinion that this is the kind of life I want, okay? I want to see the blessings of God. I want to have peace. I want to have contentment. That's what I want. But this is how I want to live. I want to do what I want, go where I want. I want to have my own way. But I want the peace and contentment. You see, you cannot have both. You see, there's a peace that passes all understanding, but that is based on your relationship with Christ. There are many people, and I've talked to them, and you've talked to them as well. They're doing something, they're involved in something that they know is wrong. But I want to have the peace and contentment of blessings of God. But I want to do this as wrong. I don't understand why my heart is upset. I don't understand why I don't have peace. I don't understand why I'm not content. But I still want to do this. A friend of mine used to say, things will be different tomorrow because of decisions you make today. You see, our life is the consequence of the choices we have made. Some choices are long and drawn out, and we have, and some are kind of instantaneous choices. When I was 18 years old, it was early in September. I graduated from high school at 17, not because I was real smart, it's just where my birthday came. And I was turning 18, didn't have a job, and it was in the middle of the Vietnam War. Some of you remember that. And so in all my teenage wisdom, said, you know what I ought to do? I ought to join the military. Real bright choice. And so I said, you know what I want to do? I like to swim and I like to see things blow up. And I found that in the Navy, there's an occupation called the UDT, Underwater Demolition Team. You can swim underwater, plant bombs, and watch them blow up. There we go. A career choice. This is great. My dad was in the Navy. He was all for it. My mother, she didn't think too much of it. Then I found out that the Navy wouldn't guarantee I got to be on the underwater demolition team. You know, I might be end up stuck as a clerk someplace or something. That wouldn't be good for me. So I went to the Army. Talked to the recruiter. And the Army said, you sign up, you're there for 3 years, and we'll send you to school. We'll give you whatever training you want. If we can't give you the training you want, we'll cut you loose. So, I'm in. Made an appointment. I was going to go to Detroit, take a physical, and from there to go off to Fort Knox, Kentucky for basic training, and then off to school. I was all planned on it. One night, my neighbor across the road came over, and we got to know him. They lived there a year or so, I guess, and he said, he was a supervisor in a construction company. He said, I'm finishing up a school. I need somebody to sweep floors and clean up, and we'll pay you the grand total of $90 a week. Now, in 1971, $90 a week wasn't too bad money. And I said, well, I've got no money in my pocket now, so I'll put off going to the Army for a few weeks while I go up and sweep this school and clean it up, and I'll be able to have some money in my pocket when I go to the Army. Sound like a good deal. Okay, be there. Left at 6 o'clock the next morning to go work. You know what? They never laid me off. I didn't go in the Army. I didn't get an advanced training. I didn't get to swim and blow things up. That was a bit of a disappointment to me. I still like to swim, and from time to time, I get to see an explosion. But you see, a choice made a difference in my life. We're looking in Brother Harper doing a great job teaching on Wednesday night in Romans 6, 7, and 8. And Paul says, the things that I would, I do not. He says, I make choices. And it's hard. And it is. It isn't easy. I mean, if it was easy to always make right choices, Paul never would have written those chapters. Understand that? But we can always make right choices. Not easy. So I think the basic thought is here, what kind of life do you want? Do you want a life where you have the peace, contentment, and blessings of God? Or do you want a life where you can do what you want? You know, the thing is, if I say, you know what, I want that kind of life, and you pray, God will change your want tour. He'll give you new desires, give you the desires of his heart. Will become your heart's desires. What's fellowship with God? It's salvation, separation, godly choices, and it's gospel-centered. Philippians 1:5, he says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Around the gospel. See, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection, that's the pivot point around which we fellowship. Also, fellowship with God requires confession and forsaking. Psalm 51, certainly a psalm of David, after his sin with Bathsheba. He says in Psalm 51 and verse 3, "For I acknowledge my transgression, my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and clear when thou judgest. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Do you ever have anything you struggled with? A sin. Day after day. Week after week. Month after month. Sometimes it went on for years. And it was always there. Always there in the back of your mind. And you struggled with it. You knew it was wrong, but you knew that you wanted it. David says, "Restore to me the joy of thy salvation." When we confess and forsake, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleaning. Have you ever been in a place where you worked and it was hot work and dirty work? And I've at times been, I think my uncles used to work for my uncle in the pig pens, and you'd come home, and there are times we were teenage boys, we got to the door, and he came in through the garage to get in the house, and we got to the door, and mother would look at us, and she would smell it coming in, and she'd say, "Take your clothes off there, boys." And we'd strip down to our shorts in the garage and come in to get it before we got a shower. We were just filthy, and it felt so good to get clean, to get the stink off, if you will. But spiritually, it's that way as well. It feels good to get the stink off. As David said, "Wash me." He says, well, in Psalm 119, "Wherewithal shall young men cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Notice the if statements. Look at, starting in verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship, verse 8, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, if we confess our sins, if we say that we have not sinned, all the conditional statements there, if. You know, the question is if. Again, let's go back to the two different lives. If we say that we want this kind of life, and if we're doing this, then what do we have to do to make the change? It's pretty simple. If we confess our sin, 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. The conditions. In verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Fellowship with other godly Christians is based on walking in the light. If I'm walking in the light, let's say we're out at night and Mr. Anderson and I are walking together, and we're walking down the street through the street lights, and we can see one another, we can hear one another, we can fellowship together. But say we get off the road, we head up the hill up here, and it's dark. I can't see Mr. Anderson, he can't see me. I'm fighting my way to get through the brush and through the trees and tripping over roots and falling in holes and banging my head on rocks and all that. It's kind of hard to fellowship together, isn't it? But do you know what? All it takes is a little light, a little lamp, a little kerosene lamp that puts out, I don't know how many watts, 3 watts or something, or 5 watts of light, can make all the difference. Fellowship. You see, if we walk in the light, we can have fellowship one with another. You know, it's hard to fellowship as a Christian with someone who doesn't want to walk in the light. Why? Because they want to talk about different things. They want a different kind of entertainment. They want to have different conversations. They have different goals and ambitions and ideas and desires. Some of you know you have unsaved family. And we all do. And you go and you sit down with them and the surface conversation lasts about 15 minutes. And then you say, what are we going to talk about now? Because you're walking in light, they're walking in darkness. And it's just hard to have fellowship with them. But it's sad that there's sometimes that people who claim to be saved, claim to be on their way to heaven, but they want to walk in darkness. Hard to have fellowship with them too. Because again, their life is centered on what they want instead of what God wants. We have fellowship one with another. And if we're both walking in the light of Christ, then we can walk together. The path of light is a measure of fellowship. And it says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. You see, forgiveness deals with the penalty. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. 1 John 1:9. The penalty is taken away. Why? Jesus paid the penalty on the cross. Cleansing has to do with purity. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To put us in the place where our lives are cleansed and purified and there's nothing offensive to God about them. Restores to purity. But more about that in 1 John 1:9. Verse 7, we walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The blood of Christ cleanses. Hebrews 9:14, it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Revelation chapter 7. He said unto him, sir, thou knowest. He said unto me, these are those which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. See, there's two things. The blood of Christ deals with the Adamic curse. The blood of Jesus Christ deals with the sin penalty we have because we're all descendants of Adam. We talked about that this morning. But the Word of God, the Bible, cleanses from daily dirt. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And we can say not just a young man, but also a young woman, a middle-aged man, a middle-aged woman, a child, an adult, a grandparent. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. John writes and says, you know what? I really want to have fellowship. I want you to have fellowship with God. I want you to have that communication, that joint participation with God. But you cannot live this kind of life and have a life have the results of this in your life. It doesn't happen. It doesn't work that way. So we're going to have fellowship with God. We have to make some changes. As if we fellowship with God and we walk in the light, then we can walk with other, we can have fellowship with other people who love the Lord and want to walk with the Lord and want to move forward. You know, I think that the question just comes down to, what do you want in your life? What do you want in your life? Do you want to have the peace, the contentment, the blessing of God? Or do you want to have those temporary urges and desires fulfilled in your life that only last for a moment and you know are not satisfying? That's the real choice, isn't it? You see, John is writing, and we said as we looked at the beginning, it's not addressed to a particular individual or group, but generally addressed to all of us. So we ask the question, what do you want? If we walk, if we confess, if we say, and if we do what God expects of us, we can have the joy, the blessing, and the contentment in our life. And you know what? It might take a little getting used to. Because maybe we've been used to trying to get our joy and our contentment off the things of the world. And it doesn't last. We have to keep going back and going back. But with Christ, we have that peace. That peace that passes all understanding.